Two things are almost invariably true about the federal program known as SNAP, for Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. One, no matter how many name changes it goes through, it is still generally referred to as food stamps. Two, it is always a topic of controversy, often used as a political football in Congress. SNAP is called Oregon Trail in Oregon and Cal Fresh in California, and it has been cut recently by Congress. But some Congress members want the Agriculture Secretary to hold off on the cuts. Let's talk about the overall need and the people who have that need. Robin Johnson is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. She's with the organization Partners for a Hunger-Free Oregon. Robin, thanks so much for joining us today.
Good morning, Jeff. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. Partners for Hunger-Free Oregon, give us a little history on that group and who the partners are.
Okay. So again, thanks so much for having me. And a little on Partners for Hunger-Free Oregon. We're a statewide outreach and advocacy organization focusing, our main focus is really on ending hunger before it begins. And so really not just responding to the crisis of hunger after it's happened, but really looking upstream and continuing to ask the question, why are folks hungry to begin with? Oregon has a five-year plan to end hunger called Ending Hunger Before It Begins, Oregon's Call to Action. And our organization works on three goals, broadly and specifically, in partnership with organizations across the state, including the Regional Food Bank Network, partners in local agriculture and advocacy, and then additionally our partners in government, all the way, so broadly, all the way to folks like your listeners who are just individuals who care about their friends and neighbors who are struggling with hunger.
So when you talk about trying to end hunger before it begins, what's the key component of that? I mean, it sounds like obviously identifying where hunger might exist, but then what are the steps beyond that?
That's an interesting question. So we, in our plan, we have three specific goals. Goal number one is to increase economic stability for Oregonians, Oregon communities, and the state of Oregon overall. And so that's looking at public policy interventions like earned income tax credit, temporary assistance for needy families, which is the new name for cash welfare for families with children, and programs like employment-related daycare that really help support families who are just getting into the workforce but are low income and are not making enough money to have safe, affordable care for their kids and be able to work. We all know that that's one of the things that all families struggle with is the incredibly high price of childcare. And when you're making at or below poverty wages, that becomes a near impossibility for families. And we want all kids to be safe and cared for while their parents are out working. So we look at programs like employment-related daycare and really look at how we can strengthen that to serve families. Our second goal is to cultivate a strong regional food system. So really looking at agriculture practices, land use, processing, producing, anything from seed to fork on that part of our plan. And then goal three is improving the food assistance safety net. And you, I think you posed an interesting question about SNAP or what's commonly known as food stamps. So this really is SNAP is our first line of defense against hunger. And when that falls short, we know that there are still folks who need to rely on emergency food boxes each month. And so in Oregon, just under 800,000 people use the SNAP program each month. And we know that those benefits last from, you know, from 2 to 3 weeks into the month. And then after that, those families are faced with a lot of tough choices. You know, do they shrink the size of their meals? Do they skip meals? Do they decrease the quality of their food, you know, moved to those, like, bulky convenience foods? And oftentimes they need to go to emergency food pantries and get an emergency food box to help carry them and their family to, you know, over to the end of the month when their SNAP benefits are reissued.
How much goes on in the way of attempting to provide some education about how to make meal dollars go further? I mean, if it sounds like most people get into about the third week of the month and then things begin to get really thin, is there much effort to get the idea across that if you thin things out a little bit more, or is it simply that there isn't enough money provided for a family?
From our perspective, we believe that the benefit is inadequate. So this is going to get a little technical, but I'm not going to go too deeply into this. But there's allotted about $1.40 per meal, Jeff, per person. In the family.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So you figure if you're a household of two, you got about $2.80 per meal. I took home economics.
Right, I'm thinking
that would really require my best skills. But to answer your question, there is a lot of education that goes on. There are a lot of resources available in communities and in a program called a SNAP Education, which really focuses on food economy, on healthy meals, on scratch cooking and stretching your food dollar. But the truth of the matter is the SNAP benefit just is inadequate. The unfortunate truth is for many families, their SNAP benefit is their food budget because it's inflexible. The only thing they can spend it on is food. The other dollars that families have coming in each month in by way of wages, you know, they're using those dollars and making really tough choices. Do they pay their electricity bill this month, or do they take their child to the doctor? Do they pay all of their rent, or do they pay their back rent from the month before so that they really don't get evicted? You know, so these are really tough decisions that so many families in Oregon are still faced with. Even though our economy continues to improve slightly, it really hasn't improved at the level of low-wage earners from our perspective. We still, even though the SNAP rolls are going down very slightly, we know that it's very slight, so just under 800,000. So we know that one in five Oregonians are still at risk of hunger and potentially, you know, doing unthinkable things like going without food themselves or having to put their children to bed without food. And so the federally funded food programs, SNAP, WIC, school meals, they are critical to helping make sure that our families are fed and healthy. And they really are a bridge for families who are struggling right now to get back to work. And we continue to advocate hard in partnership with so many people in your community who have called their legislators locally, called their legislators on the state level, called their legislators on the federal level, and we are so grateful for their partnership. And when we talk about partners for Hunger Free Oregon, that's what we mean. Anyone who stands up and raises their voice on behalf of their family, their friends, the parents of of their kids' friends at school, those are the partners that we're talking about, and we so appreciate everyone's advocacy.
Robin Johnson's our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, as she just mentioned. She's with Partners for a Hunger-Free Oregon. We're talking about primarily about SNAP, the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, CalFresh in California and Oregon Trail in Oregon, and cuts and effects of the program. Join us on the Exchange if you have something to add to the conversation. 800-838-3760 anywhere in our listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. By email, jx@jeffnet.org. You mentioned just wavering around 800,000, maybe dropping a little bit below that, people who are receiving SNAP benefits in Oregon. Now, there have been, it's a little hard to follow. There were some cuts in October, weren't they, at the beginning of the new fiscal year, and this other set of cuts that comes with the farm bill?
You're correct. So on November 1st, every SNAP recipient received a cut to their SNAP benefits. This was due to the sunsetting of a provision from the ARRA, from the American Reinvestment Act. So also it's colloquially called the stimulus bill.
Right, yeah.
So on November 1st, because choices Congress made previously to use those funds to to pay for other priorities. In one case, they paid for some for a portion of the education bill. In another case, they paid for improvements in child nutrition programs, which we adamantly opposed on the grounds that why would you take from one nutrition program to fund another nutrition program? And the unfortunate outcome was on November 1st, every SNAP recipient across the country saw a decrease in their benefit on average of about $11 per person. So for a family of four, they saw a reduction, you know, of between $36 and $44. So if we use the low end, the conservative estimate of $36 for their household on November 1st, and then with the passage of the farm bill earlier in February, Oregon, for about 100,000 households in our state, they stand to lose $58 a month. So if you take the 36 that they lost on November 1st, it was everyone. And then for 100,000 households, you know, an eighth of the SNAP caseload, those families are going to experience approximately $100 cut in their SNAP benefits. And in terms of the farm bill cut, this is something that we advocated against adamantly as well, because we know the truth of the matter is that when people have less SNAP benefits, they have less food on the table. And additionally, there are less dollars going into the Oregon economy. You know, over half of all SNAP participants are children. So if you think about that, a family with children, they have $100 less a month to buy food, not only for their kids, but also for parents who are struggling to work or get back into the workforce. And we all know what happens to us when we're hungry. Kids can't learn. Kids are sick. Parents are grouchy. You go to work, you know, you can't focus. You don't do the best job you can do. And so we really see these benefits as really lending to the health of all Oregonians, to the productivity of our workforce and the success of our students. And so that's why we see these cuts as particularly devastating, not only to you know, the people that we know and care about in communities across Oregon, but additionally to our communities as a whole.
Now, they were actually proposed to be worse than what they are. I see the original idea was to cut $40 billion in SNAP funding over 10 years. Instead, it ended up being $8 billion over 10 years. When you think about it, it's $800 million a year for 10 years, so not an insignificant cut at that. I can't imagine anybody feels like they really dodged a bullet, though, in the line of work you're in.
I heard an interesting comment from someone who's on SNAP that the cut may seem as if it was not as bad as it could have been, but for SNAP recipients, the cut of $1 means less food, and they feel that significantly. And so if you look on the larger scale, it looks one way, but when you look on the tables of Oregon families, it's going to be a very bleak picture.
Robin Johnson, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange with Partners for a Hunger-Free Oregon. We'll take a couple of more minutes talking to her about the SNAP program, Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, also called food stamps, still after all these years. Join this discussion on the Exchange at 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. By email, jx@jeffnet.org. Robin, I understand that the four Democratic House members in Oregon and Senator Jeff Merkley sent a letter or signed a letter with many other members of Congress off to the Agriculture Secretary asking for a delay in the cuts under the Farm Bill. Are you aware of that whole process?
I am. We reached out to our whole congressional delegation and asked them to sign on to a letter out of Senator Gillibrand's office from New York and Congressman Jim McGovern from Massachusetts, asking the Secretary of Agriculture to delay the implementation of the changes that will impact SNAP. Unfortunately, that letter was not successful in moving the Secretary to do that. He cited the fact that the letter of the law wouldn't allow him to delay the implementation. So the truth of the matter is, starting today, the changes will go into effect for new SNAP participants, and the state has up to 5 more months to begin to implement the changes for households currently on SNAP through the certification process. I will tell you that we are very appreciative of our delegation signing, you know, the members of our delegation who signed that, because it's an important sign that they continue to be strong supporters of the SNAP program. Right now, we're in conversation with state agencies and the governor's office about what could possibly be done to mitigate these cuts. And we know that that health is a key priority to the governor, and we see SNAP as key to the health of hundreds of thousands of Oregonians. And so we look forward to continuing a conversation with our partners in state agency and the governor's office on what we can do to mitigate these cuts.
All right, a couple of calls to take in the last few minutes here with Robin Johnson. Here is Steve and Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Howdy. I think it's about time we realize who it is that are cutting stuff like oats, food stamps, and aid to women and children, and WIC, and such, and are at the same time leaving in loopholes for corporations and trust funders and hedge funders. And
so you're saying corporate welfare stays intact, but the welfare for humans does not?
Yeah, corporate welfare is alive and well in the United States, and it's about time we started assessing where we are on this totem pole of the 1%ers and the 99%ers and the bottom 1%ers like me, and figuring out where our interests lie, and, you know, stop looking, catering to the interests of those people that are already fat cat wealthy.
Already doing quite well. Thanks for that, Steve. Appreciate it. Let's go on to Mike in Springfield. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Robin Johnson from Partners for a Hunger-Free Oregon.
Yeah, good morning, Robin. I'd like to ask you, what percentage of the food stamp benefits are spent on junk food? Such as soda pop, candy bars, chips.
Mm-hmm. No particular restrictions there, I'm guessing. So let's check it out. Thanks for the call, Mike. Appreciate it. Robin?
I cannot. There isn't specific data available either from USDA or other sources about the spending habits, the specific spending habits of folks who are on SNAP. There are studies that have been done that show. Part of the reason we can't get to the specific consumer level data is because it's proprietary information that the retailers hold pretty tightly. But we do know that the general purchasing habits of SNAP users mirror those of the general public, and that shouldn't be shocking to anyone, because SNAP users are our sisters and brothers. SNAP users are our aunts and uncles and parents, and the people who taught us how to shop, and who we will teach our children how to shop. And so it's really consistent. You know, if your family values going to the farmer's market and buying local organic produce, then that's likely, you know, what your family will continue to buy.
So what you learned is what you'll stick with, is what you're saying. And I've heard this argument before, that people on SNAP eat like people in America eat, and that can be both good and bad. We're down to about a minute here, Robin. I just want to ask, how I know how you probably feel about this. I think you made it quite clear. But given the way that the SNAP program seems to be such a whipping boy year in, year out for members of Congress, I mean, do you get much response from people who are receiving SNAP benefits, how they feel about all that?
We have heard from many SNAP recipients, and the message that we're getting loud and clear is this is a tremendous resource for Oregonians and their families, and without it, it would really it would push our families to making even tougher choices than they already have to. Do people jettison fruits and vegetables? Do people buy even cheaper calories, or do they have to skip meals altogether? And so what we want your listeners to know is that they play a role. Continue to raise your voice with your local electeds, with your state electeds in the federal delegation. Let them know that we want Oregonians to be fed and healthy, and we appreciate their help.
All right, and we appreciate your time today. Robin Johnson is with Partners for a Hunger-Free Oregon. Thank you so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you, Jeff.
You bet. We will take a short break here on the Exchange. When we return, you'll hear the voice of Garrison Keillor with today's edition of the Writer's Almanac. This is Jefferson Public Radio. Thanks for listening.